relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
An amazing show for you today. We're going to have Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, my Newsmax colleague Emerald Robinson, of what it's like to be a White House correspondent in an age when there is no White House correspondency going on because they're all lab dogs except for Newsmax and a couple of others. The Marine Corps legend, Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff in studio to talk about wokeness in the military. Breitbart's Matt Boyle and a little bit of comedy. Let's start with a little bit of comedy. Joe Scarborough, stand-up comedian, cut 7.
I've been going back through my mind. Maybe you can come up with a better week in American diplomacy overseas over the past 20 years in the 21st century. I've been trying to figure it out over the past 12 hours. I can't think of a more successful diplomatic trip in the 21st century than this one.
Let's ask a man who served as a station chief for the CIA, who knows our enemy behind the Iron Curtain, as was intimately. You know him from Fox News, all-around patriot, national security expert, Daniel Hoffman. Welcome to America First.
Hey, thanks for having me on the program. Always a pleasure.
So, Dan, was that, in your estimation, the Putin summit, NATO G7, the greatest diplomatic coup of the since the 21st century or the last century?
Well, no, it wasn't. And I don't even think the Biden administration would have made that sort of exaggeration. The Biden team was really cautioning everyone that that any sort of results from the summit would be very modest. This wasn't designed to be a major reset policy of the sort we saw from the Obama administration. And that's what we got. We got the ambassadors returning to their respective capitals and some discussion about the issues that divide our two nations, and that's about it.
And if you were in the National Security Council, if you were the Russia-Eurasia director, or back at the CIA involved in Russia work, how would you rate if somebody in any administration came up with the idea that the chief executive should go into a meeting with either the Ayatollah of Iran,
the president of the Russian Federation or China and give them a list of our most crucial national security sectors based upon cyber attack and tell them, please don't hit these ones, what would you say to that policy recommendation?
Yeah, I mean, so it's a little bit counterintuitive probably to the listeners, but I guarantee you that our adversaries know all about those parts of our national security infrastructure. And I'm pretty sure that Russian government hackers are already there surveilling those targets and are prepared to launch cyber attacks. We've probably spotted their surveillance. So I'm not sure we're giving away any state secrets. The bigger issue for me is whether President Biden thought that by asking Vladimir Putin not to target those sites, that he was going to achieve some sort of cyber deterrence.
Yeah.
You know, and deterrence requires the enemy to believe that we have the will and the capacity to defend ourselves, which we haven't demonstrated yet. And that's really why we've been throttled over the past, 6 months or so with these massive cyber attacks, SolarWinds and DarkSide, the criminal hacking groups enjoying safe haven in Russian territory. We have gotten nowhere towards, stability and predictability with our relationship with Russia. And as long as the KGB operative in the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin, is in power, I don't expect that to happen.
Best tweet after the summit is from our buddy David Harsanyi, who said, biggest loser today, the 17th most critical infrastructure entity in America. I mean, could you imagine being number 17? You didn't make it to the list, the 16 that Biden handed to Putin. We're talking to Daniel Hoffman. Follow him, Daniel Hoffman, DC, Fox News contributor, retired CIA senior clandestine services officer. You're an expert. You've served in Moscow. In the last few minutes we have with you, I want you to paint a picture of what it means to be a retired KGB colonel who is a member of the Siloviki, the national security elite. What is it our millions of listeners and our viewers need to know about the kind of person that Vladimir Putin is?
Yeah, so Vladimir Putin served in the KGB. He was also director of Russia's Federal Security Service. That's their ruthless security police. And if there's one thing to know about a KGB guy, it's that they admit nothing, deny everything, and make a lot of counter accusations. And so we saw him do that. He had the podium all to himself for a propaganda session with lots of hypocrisy and false equivalencies. And it was a shame, in my view, that President Biden wasn't standing next to him enjoying a President Ronald Reagan moment where he could have called out Putin for all of Putin's lies and propaganda. We kind of missed that opportunity. What's key for us, I will tell you, and our intelligence community, I'm sure, is focused on reflections from the summit. How did Putin react to receiving that list of, 16 sectors of our critical infrastructure that he's not supposed to hit? Otherwise, he's going to face some sort of unknown counteraction on our part. And remember, the last time we did something like that was 2018 under the Trump administration in anticipation of the midterms when we knocked out the Internet Research Agency, reportedly, with Cyber Command. Putin does. He wanted this summit badly because it elevates his stature and makes it appear as if he can portray Russia as a besieged fortress that only he can defend. And that's important heading into the September parliamentary elections. He wants his party, United Russia, to do well, and this helps him.
And this moment in the press conference that Putin gave first, he jumped in there, he gave his press conference first before Biden gave his press conference after the meeting. And the idea, Dan, that we saw the head of state of the Russian Federation, one of our most significant adversaries, use domestic political talking points against the Biden administration, mentioning BLM, mentioning the death of Ashley Babbitt, that Air Force veteran inside the Capitol on January the 6th. That's classic KGB tactics, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a student of the United States, and he's a student of getting a bit of it right. So he's going to get 90% of the story right, and then he'll twist the rest of it, the rest of the 10%, to make whatever propaganda point that he wishes to make. And again, the answer isn't to shut him down. The answer is just more free speech. But, God bless our free press who did their best to hold him accountable. We really could have used the leader of the free world out there hammering him as Putin deserved to be. And it's a shame that didn't happen, frankly.
Where do we put Russia in the scale of threats? This is a nation that's hemorrhaging population, isn't reproducing, as also, if you look at it economically, smaller than the economy of California. Nevertheless, they know how to stir trouble. So right now, how dangerous is Russia as a geopolitical anti-status quo actor?
Well, they punch above their weight because Vladimir Putin is an expert practitioner of what we call asymmetric warfare. So he's using cloak and dagger espionage, whether it's cyber attacks or poisoning his opponents, whether in Russia or overseas with banned chemical weapons. He invaded Ukraine, interfered in our elections, shot down a Malaysian airliner. I mean, those are the things he does that don't cost much money, and Russia's economy is the size of Italy. So as you pointed out correctly, it's not like they can go toe-to-toe with us like they used to. But he's a thorn in our side. And that helps China, because the Chinese know that when the more that Russia takes up our interest, our focus, our resources, the more opportunity China has to militarize the South China Sea, to mount espionage operations against us and steal our intellectual property. This is a major challenge for us. And the Biden administration needs to have a strategy where we deal with both of these countries. And that is a wickedly difficult challenge.
They have a strategy. It's called sharing the president's favorite ice cream flavor. He's Daniel Hoffman. We need to find another summit to go to. Guys, if you want to have fun at a summit, go with Daniel Hoffman, Sarah Carter, like I did when we went to the North Korea-US summit in Singapore. We need to work that out. In the meantime, follow this man, Daniel Hoffman, DC. Next, Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. Stay on this channel. Relief Actor. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. How do I know that? I don't need a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it for more than 2 years now. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 2 years later. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne in California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Wow. That could be you. That should be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it now. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
I owe my last question an apology. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with the last answer I gave.
The president of the United States, allegedly, I call him the pseudo-president, apologizing because he bit the CNN reporter's head off yesterday. Is he going to pay any penalty for that with the lapdogs in the media? Let's talk to a man who represents real media, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. Matt Boyle, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Gorka. Always a pleasure to be with you.
So what do you think? I mean, you are a very, very close observer of matters swampish. I tend to think he had a crappy meeting with Putin, and that's why he responded like he did to that question from Caitlin Collins. Is he going to pay a penalty? Have we ever seen any? I'm trying to remember a president doing that, just saying, where the hell did you come from? And you're in the wrong line of business. That's rather unpresidential, isn't it?
Well, there's a bunch of things to unpack here. First and foremost, I don't think Caitlin Collins deserves anything more than a cookie for actually asking one real question
yes,
of Joe Biden.
For the first time.
His entire presidency is right. The first time he's gotten a real question.
Stop. Isn't that interesting that the CNN reporter finally asked Sleepy Creepy a real question?
And I was going to get to that. So the part of the reason why I think you're starting to see it at least a little bit from some of the establishment media people is because it's way worse off for Biden than they would have you believe. His approval rating has now dipped below 50. He's at 48% and he's sinking fast. The Democrat agenda is in trouble in Congress in every respect, not because of Republicans. The Democrats are in complete control in Washington. They have the House majority. They have the Senate majority. Yet they can't pass big picture ideas of things that they campaigned on through Congress because of how unpopular they are and because of serious infighting. You know, they do something too far to the left. They lose Manchin, Sinema, Tester, etc. They do something too far to the center. They lose the AOCs and Bernies of the world off the other end. And they can only lose in the Senate zero votes if they're going to pass partisan bills. And in the House, they can only lose a handful of votes. So they've got a real problem with actually governing. We're now seeing the failures of Democrat governance on display. The whole world can now see that when you elect Democrats, you get failure. You don't get anything for yourself. You don't get anything done. When Americans vote for Democrats, you get incompetence in charge in Washington, D.C. And so because of that, and the public can now see it, and it's starting to break through. Some people in the media, for appearances' sake, feel the need to actually ask a couple tough questions to keep the ruse going that makes it look like they're actually competent journalists. They're not. But the point here is that Caitlin Collins is a partisan hack. But the reason why she did it is to try to keep the ruse going. The problem is, and then you see Biden lashing out for the reasons above because he's frustrated. But at the same time, you also have this leader of Russia, who, by the way, anytime an American president goes to meet with an adversary of the United States, a world leader, like the president of Russia, like Chinese leader Xi Jinping or something like that, you're rooting for the American president. You want them to go in there and succeed. Except here's the problem. Joe Biden got totally rolled by Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin spent the week leading up to this doing interviews accusing Joe Biden and the American government of political persecution against their political opponents. By the way, that's stuff that the Russians and the Chinese actually do, okay? But the trolling the heck out of Joe Biden nonstop. And then he goes into this meeting with Biden, and Vladimir Putin gets everything he wants. He gets Nord Stream 2. He doesn't give in anything on these cyber hacking and so on and so forth attacks. He doesn't give in anything on any major territorial things. Nothing. So Biden gets nothing. Putin gets everything. And it's an embarrassment for the United States. So you see that frustration really seeping out of Joe Biden. And again, the broader writ large incompetence of the Democrats on display for the whole world to see now that Democrats are failures. So the good news is the American people, because of our system of government, we have an opportunity to course correct. Upcoming midterm elections, we can reelect a House majority for Republicans and a Senate majority. And then in 2024, we can send Joe Biden and Kamala Harris packing and send the Republicans back into the White House and end this experiment in incompetence.
All right. Well, let's slow down a little bit there, Matt, because I'm going to read 10 names to you. These are allegedly Republicans. Richard Burr, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Mike Rounds, Todd Young, Jerry Moran, and Mitt Romney. Latest reporting, there are 11 GOP senators, Matt, who want to support the Biden infrastructure bill. That's not good news, is it?
Well, it depends on the specifics on it. So we haven't seen the specific details of this supposed bipartisan negotiation. So those 11 Republican senators' names you just read out are the Republican ones, and there's Democrat ones. I think 10 or 11 Democrat ones on board with it. The Biden White House hasn't taken a position on this yet. Schumer hasn't taken a position on it yet. Pelosi hasn't either. So we don't know, and we don't know the exact specifics. We do know that they issued a statement saying that it wouldn't raise taxes. So that's a good thing, if that's the case. But again, the devil's in the details on something like this. We got to see what the specifics are. Apparently, it's around $1 trillion. We don't know what it is in terms of Green New Deal craziness or whatever, but it isn't the Biden plan. And that's important. So we'll see if the specifics as they come out about this supposed negotiation, how the left reacts to it, and if they throw a temper tantrum. It's very possible that they will, and that this whole thing will collapse and it won't happen. It's also very possible that this deal is off to the races and maybe the Republican establishment gave away the farm. We don't know yet. It's still too early to tell. But it's something that me, my team here at Breitbart is tracking very, very closely. We're watching every little detail as they come out as these negotiations are ongoing. But again, it's still too early to tell the specifics in the plan and negotiation, and then also how this is going to play with the left and the Democrats in the White House. But we do know that around 20 or so. Bipartisan senators, about 10 on each side, I think 10 or 11 on the Republican side and 10 on the Democrat side, have supposedly come to terms on at least the top lines of a deal. We'll see if it gets anywhere.
But the fact that Mitt Romney is one of the negotiators, isn't that in and of itself a problem?
I think so. Again, but the question here is this going to lead to an actual deal or not? I don't know if Biden takes the deal or not. So all of this might be for naught in the end. But the rush by these Republican establishment people to try to cut a deal with the Democrats on something that's extremely unpopular, like this radical leftist environmentalist agenda. And we're seeing the effects of the Biden energy policies right now in our economy with inflation, with rising gas prices, so on and so forth around the country, in the lack of our energy independence, which we had for the first time under Trump in generations. But the point here is that this rush by these establishment Republicans, they are totally not listening to the American public. It's time to crush the Democrat agenda. We just did a big thing with Mike Pompeo about this. People want to see the Democrats crushed at the midterm elections. They do not want to see
these
big bipartisan deals.
I have one thing to add to that. I want to see the rhinos crushed. And that includes Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney. It's not just the left. It's those that represent themselves, not their constituents, not America. They are swamp creatures as much as the Democrats. He's Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website out there, Breitbart.com's Matt Boyle. Back with Matt after these messages. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine, 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
America First. Magnificent.
We had Marjorie Taylor Greene in studio for a whole hour. If you haven't seen it, she was on fire. Go to our Rumble account. It's the anti-YouTube. They believe in freedom of speech. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. It's free. Rumble.com/SEBGORKA. And she's got a new proposal, hot off the presses, to do with the ATF. We'll share that with you later. But first, if you didn't get a good night's sleep last night, do what I do every night. Rest your head on one of Mike Lindell's My Pillow, the pillow that just cradles your cranium through the night. Never gets hot, never, never loses its shape. Guaranteed for 10 years. And right now, you'll get up to 66% off the incredible. He's got more than 100 items at his store. Check them out, MyPillow.com. Use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. All right, we have to talk about the president's plans. I mean, President Trump's plans, the return of the rallies. But one last question for our guest, Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com, about the Democrats. There is a report that Joe Manchin, the West Virginia senator, was on a call with funders. This is from The Intercept yesterday. And he said the following about changing the filibuster, which is really the thorn in the side of the Democrats right now. He said, one of the many good suggestions I've had is to change the voting rule from 60 votes to 55. Isn't that bad news if he's serious, Matt Boyle?
Yeah, but again, if he did that, he would be breaking a promise to the people of West Virginia, and he knows that. So I think he's just spitballing with donor types, right? Like, so I think that's just as, you know, senators being senators. I would be heavily skeptical of any such effort actually succeeding. And by the way, here's the other thing: if they get Manchin for some reason, they also need to get Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire. They need to get John Tester from Montana. They need to get Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly from Arizona. They need to get Ossoff and Warnock from Georgia. Not all of these people are on board with nuking the filibuster. So it's not like, as much as the establishment media would have you believe it's just Joe Manchin, it's not.
Yeah.
It's pretty widespread among Democrat and Republican senators, right? Like, that they don't want to do this. And also, here's the other thing. The legislative calendar, they've only got really about 10 weeks left at most of legislating really this year. So they've got a few weeks here between now and the August recess. Then after they come back, they've got to deal with debt ceiling and spending bill authorizations in September. And that will take them into the first or second week of October. Then they may have a couple weeks or so before the Thanksgiving holiday, a few weeks. Then there might be a little bit after Thanksgiving before Christmas. And then once you're through the holidays at the other end of the year and you get to 2022 and the calendar flips over into January, all these members, vulnerable members, are going to be worried about their campaigns and re-election battles and so on and so forth. It's all going to become a midterm election year, a big morass, and nothing's getting done. So they already kind of missed their window to nuke the filibuster and make it be meaningful. So I would imagine that the Democrats will hold off on doing that, especially people like Manchin. So I think that's more of Manchin spitballing with donors than any serious proposal.
He just used the word morass. I love that word. Nicely done. He's Matt Boyle, Breitbart.com. Matt, last minute and a half we have with you. You're talking about election season. Everything grinds to a halt in D.C. Mm-hmm. How significant an impact on politics in general, let alone election season, is the fact that President Trump has declared his first rally will be at the Lorain County Fairgrounds June 26th?
Yeah, he's going in there to campaign for Max, who's running against Gonzalez there in Ohio. Really, really important race. Look, President Trump is the X factor in Republican politics. I mean, he is by far the most energetic, the best endorsement you can have. It's the gold, platinum, diamond standard, right? Like, there's nobody better than him. And him being out there and being engaged is a good thing for the Republican Party. It's a good thing for the base. And it's a bad thing for the Democrats, frankly, right? Because people are going to be able to see and remember what it was like when President Trump was successfully leading our country and economy in the days before this failure of an administration that, and Democrat complete control in Washington that we have right now has been operating under. So I'm excited to see it. I look forward to maybe getting out to a couple of them. I hope that he gets as engaged as possible and does as many rallies as he possibly can. And I know that his endorsement is the one that every candidate in America on the Republican side is angling for.
The Kingmaker par excellence. But I like this. I think we have a title for this segment as soon as we put it up on Rumble. President Trump is the X Factor. Follow his writings. Check out Breitbart. Bookmark it every single day. Breitbart.com. He's their Washington political editor, Matt Boyle. Thank you, Matt. This is America First. Your calls on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. We'll be right back.
making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Do you want to know how bad the Democrats are? I mean, really, like, wicked, wicked evil. This is from the Daily Caller, Eileen Evans. Democrats reject the amendment which would require companies to disclose their ties to China's forced labor camps. Yes, yes, you heard correctly. House Democrats voted Wednesday against an amendment that would have required U.S. companies to inform their shareholders if they engaged in commercial activities with a Chinese official or Chinese company using forced labor. Andy Bart, Kentucky Republican, introduced the amendment which would have required U.S. companies to disclose if they are in commercial relations with foreign entities that, quote, engage in, are responsible for, or facilitate the forced labor of Uyghurs, Kazakh, Kyrgyz, and members of other minority groups in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region of China. How can you be against this? You don't have to love Muslims. You don't have to know about Chinese ethnic groups in Xinjiang province. You just have to say, yeah, slave labor's bad, and we don't want U.S. companies to be engaged in it or working with Chinese companies that profit from slave labor. They always were the bigots. They always were the racists. From the plantations to the KKK, that's the Democrats. And here's the proof. Nothing. There was no Southern strategy. That's a fraud. That's an invention. This is the nature of the Democrats. When they're not acting like communists, they're acting like the true bigots and racists they are, including Joe Biden. A man who the media loves. What is the media's culpability for being force multipliers and propagandists for people like this who are fine with slave labor? There's somebody called John Meacham who, looking at the press conference Biden gave yesterday where he stumbled, he called Putin Trump, and then when one reporter asks a decent question, bites her head off. What is the response from MSNBC? You won't believe it. Well, you can probably guess. Cut eight.
My insight watching the press conference yesterday was there was a kind of poetry in his prose. Does that make sense? Not literally his prose, but just the whole week. It was straightforward. And by being so straightforward, it seemed kind of elevating to me.
A poetry in his prose. Really? Let's listen to the poetry in his prose. This is from yesterday, his response to Caitlin Collins of CNN. Cut three from yesterday.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time? So when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said what I said was, let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin
framed? You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business.
Where the hell did you come from? You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business. Poetry in his prose. Let's go to your calls. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Derek in Cleveland. Welcome to America First.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Gore. Good afternoon.
Greetings.
So in listening to Presidente Biden's press conference yesterday after he met with Vladimir Putin, you know, he again repeated that lie about January 6th, claiming that, you know, the protesters killed a police officer
yes.
at the Capitol. It's just incredible watching, just seeing these lies presented. Now, do you think he was intentionally lying, believes that? I mean, how could the President of the United States, who's given all this intelligence, not know the facts about what happened?
No, come on. This is a guy who most of the time isn't compos mentis. This is a guy who called Putin Trump. This is an individual who confuses his wife with his sister and doesn't know that Super Tuesday is on Super Tuesday. Honestly, Derek, he probably believes that garbage. What is the likelihood that some real journalism ever entered the very thin cranium that is Joe Biden's brain? Do you really think any real journalism ever penetrated through to his mind?
You're right. It's just really what they want to hear and what.
Well,
this is
the point that's made by who makes this point? Was it Rush? Is it my buddy Chris Plant? Various people have said this before I've ever made it. Derek, because you listen to this show, what the lying media says. We just played it to you. We just played MSNBC's John Meacham. We played Joe Scarborough. We know the lies they spread. The people who spread the lies, the people who consume the lies like Joe Biden, have no idea about the truth, about what we report on Salem, about what Newsmax, what Breitbart reports, the actual facts of the matter. They don't have an inkling. So the sad thing is, for most, I would say most Democrat voters, and possibly even that senile old man who bears the title of President of the United States, they probably believe all of this garbage. That's why your job is more important than ever, Derek. Why every single one of the millions listen to this radio show, you're cleaving to the truth publicly is so essential, because you might be that wake-up call. You might be that little catalytic effect in the person who says, what do you mean that police officer didn't die at the hands of red MAGA hatting wearing Trump supporters? Maybe that person is going to look into it for themselves. You could be that catalyst. That's why we're here every single day on America First. Thank you, Derek. David, Sean, don't go anywhere. Your call's on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Are you in pain? Are you suffering from pain right now? Well, just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That's the story for tens of thousands of Americans, and it could be you. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Pelosi, it hurts. It hurts us.
Welcome back, dear friends. Straight to your calls. Let's go to David, who's been waiting very patiently in New Jersey. Welcome, David.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say very respectfully about Mr. Boyle, your last guest on the show, that in a way, I will do what I can to help defeat these rhinos in the Republican Party that run for Congress and Senate, but I have to remind everybody, especially those who feel as disgusted as I do with Republican inaction in Pennsylvania, in the legislature, and certainly in Congress, that a lot of the congressmen and women, they did a vote of confidence for Comrade Liz Cheney late last year, earlier this year. And I'm not sure if it was a voice vote or a vote on the record. So I'll do what I can to defeat these Rhino, Krispy Kreme, the gun grabber, Chris Christie types. But it's really insulting, the argument that somehow the American people are going to vote for Republican leadership. They have to stand for something. And as for Kevin McCarthy, I've always assumed that he supports amnesty for illegal aliens. He just doesn't have the guts to say it. So I'll stay firm and try to do what I can in the primaries. And I appreciate your help and leadership, Dr. G. You're a great guy. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Thank you, my friend. Stay on the line. Let's give David a signed copy of The War for America. So look, you know me. If you listen to this show, I detest rhinos more than I detest the Democrats because they're a fifth column. They're on our side pretending to be on our side. But the fact is, in the choice between a Democrat winning a seat and a rhino, yeah, I get what you're saying, but we have to crush both of them. Let's go to Sean in New York. Welcome aboard.
Dr. Gorka, first, I have to thank you very much for both of the books that you sent to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to tell you how much we love you. I don't know where to start. First, let me just give you a little bit of our background. My wife is from the former Soviet Union, okay?
She gets it.
She was born and raised in Kazakhstan, and the joke in our family amongst the extended relatives is, I turned a Bolshevik into a Republican. Not a rhino, a MAGA Republican. And
nice.
I can tell you that she, when President Trump got on the plane for that last time, a couple of months back, there were literally tears in her eyes. I mean,
it was tough. I was there at Andrews Air Force Base. It was tough, Sean. We've got a minute left. What else would you like to share with us? You're very kind.
I wanted to say to you, we have an ongoing party every year, once a year. I would love to invite you. I'm having my leftist cousin over and an NYPD detective. It's going to be fireworks. I mean, it's going to be.
Hey, hang on. He's not a detective, right?
No, he's not.
Good. Okay. So there's a leftist cousin. There's an NYPD detective. And you want me to be there? Am I supposed to be the referee?
The NYPD detective is my childhood friend. My cousin is the leftist. And it would just be awesome if you could tag team with us.
Because all right, stay on the line. I want to send a copy of The War for America Soul to your wife. I need your wife's name. And once I have your address, let me think about that tag team. Could be fun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Don't touch that dial.